Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text that was chosen, that I've chosen for our confirmation service for today, is a free text from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Here ends our reading. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus tells us how Christians are made. It's not a very exciting process. There's no flashes. There's no show. There's no pomp or circumstance. Jesus simply says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things I have commanded you." With the promise that He is with you always to the very end of the age. I chose that text because it's the reason we're here today. Joshua and Haley, Anna and Michaela. Let's see, what can I think of not to talk about that has nothing to do with the sermon right now? It would be just like class, right? What's in your minds right now? Nothing, right? Utter fear and terror. I have never met a class as ADD as I am in all my years. And for some of you, it's the second generation in your family, and you trumped your parents, I promise you. But confirmands, you have been baptized, and you have begun the course of a lifelong instruction in all things that Jesus has commanded. Today is not the finish line. I know you would love it to be, but it's not. It's the starting line. Confirmation continued, what your parents stated when you were babies or older, when you were baptized, that they didn't think you were going to be heathens. They didn't want you to be pagans. And they were going to raise you in a Christian home and see that you were instructed in the Christian faith that you're confessing today. After today, we would like you to continue in Bible class and youth group. And I hope you'll be involved in the church and the various activities that are available here. But today, you're getting confirmed. As you were instructed on Wednesday, confirmation is a rite of the church that occurs after a period of instruction, or at least an attempt at instruction. The period of instruction is study in the Bible and Luther's Small Catechism, and you learn the Ten Commandments, and those Ten Commandments show you the will of God, and indeed show you that what we confess today in our sins, that we have fallen short of God in thought, word, and deed by things done and things left undone, is most certainly true about each and every one of you as it is about me. We have fallen short of the glory of the Lord. And then, of course, we had Benedictus? Instead of bandanas and chidron? As you shared stories from school, from home, and parents, boy, did I learn a lot about you guys. And you even shared stories about friends or frenemies. Especially when it had absolutely nothing to do about what we were talking about in any way, shape, or form. With only four of you, it should have been an easy class, but instead it was like herding cats. And that's just the Ten Commandments we were getting through. Then we studied the Apostles' Creed. And then the Apostles' Creed teaches us of the revealed nature of God. And just how deep His love is for us, sparing not His only begotten Son, but giving him up to redeem us all from our sin, from the sinful way of life handed down to us from our parents. Then the Lord's Prayer teaches us that God is our Father and desires to have a lifetime relationship with us, as we learn that all good gifts come from His hand. The doctrine of baptism was discussed, that brings us into this New Testament covenant, marked as God's children, heirs of the kingdom of heaven, as our dead hearts are circumcised and brought to life by the Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism, where the word and promises of God were applied to you and applied to us. Then you learned about absolution and the office of the keys, the direct use of absolution, the source of our salvation, as repentant sinners are absolved and unrepentant sinners remove themselves from the gifts of forgiveness. And then we talked about the differences between attrition and contrition. Remember? Parents, I advise you to ask your children what the difference is today. There's your quiz. And after dealing with the differences between attrition and contrition, we talked about what we're going to have today, the very body and blood of Jesus in His Holy Supper. As in with and under the bread and wine, Christ brings you His very flesh and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And through all this instruction, we continue to talk about forgiveness. And we all laughed. I can honestly say I laughed more this year than in any year before. And I got frustrated more this year than I got frustrated more than any year before. And we prayed and we laughed some more. And all along, I hope, well, the confirmation instructions you confess, well, are what you're going to live in. As we learn that we're just one beggar telling another beggar where to get fed. So today I have a challenge for you, Joshua and Haley, Anna and Michaela. It's a really serious challenge. I always get kind of weepy on Confirmation Sundays. This is my 23rd class, and not all that 23rd has made it to today. Some the Lord have called home, and others have just wandered from the faith. But I challenge you today to live the confession that you will make of your own free will today. And this challenge is not just for the confirmands, it's for everyone in this building today. It's for all of us who confess faith in Jesus Christ. You may not know this, but this confirmation class had a first. Not just the frustrations, not just the laughing and everything else, but they did something no other confirmation class had ever done except for Daniel Grosskreutz. Because Daniel was a class of one, and he pulled it off very easily. But this is the very first class I've had in the time I've been here, and I've offered this reward to every class. If you have perfect attendance on a given Sunday, for church and Sunday school, pizza party. Four of you pulled it off once. And they were excited. I should have gone broke this year. But it's not always their fault. But you did it. You got the pizza party. Well, most of you did. One of you missed it. You see why I bring the challenge for everybody today? Because of what benefit is it for the children today to stand before the altar and confess that they will suffer all, even death, and fall away from this confession, than to go home and have to fight to get to come back to church? Or worse yet, have to have their parents fight to get them up to come to church? Of what benefit would it have been for the children of Israel for God to deliver them out of the land of Egypt only to have them abandon God and worship a cow, a golden calf? And of course, that's what? Utterly ridiculous. Exactly. If Nathan the prophet had confronted David in his sin of adultery and murder, and David had not sincerely repented of his sins, what benefit would that have been for David? He would have never been restored to right relationship with God. Today is a call for all of us to repent and to be restored. We must confess that we have not always made a priority to bring our children to church and Sunday school, and the children have not always honored mother and father and desired to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, by making it easier to be brought. We must confess that we have not extended the altar of the church to the altar of our homes and continue to teach our children. Instead, we have chosen to worship at the altar of work and the altar of play and the altar of sleep. We must confess we have made so many temporal things more important in our lives than God's eternal word and the services of God's house. And for this, we all, including myself, must repent. And to repent is to show sorrow over your sins. It's not enough just to fear going to hell. That's not repentance. To repent is to grieve over your treatment of God, His gifts, and your neighbor. True repentance leaves no room for buts. You know what I mean. I know I'm sinful, but so is everybody else. Just stop your mouth at the but. Repentance stops before the but can be spoken and simply confesses, I know I am sinful. As our mouths are stopped by Jesus, the one with all authority, yet this Jesus is calling all of us to true saving faith in His substitutionary atonement, His death and resurrection for us, for He alone died for all sin and all sinners, dying our death so that we could have life instead. True repentance will always drive and deliver you to the cross and to the empty tomb. For without the cross and the empty tomb of Christ, all you will ever find is a false god. A theology of glory that desires a God of glory and power only as long as He is doing what you want. So today is not only about confirmation, but repentant faith. It is about the right faith in a true God, which is the purpose of confirmation. Therefore, you are to be different than the rest of the world. To be in the world, but not of the world. Here, let me give you an example from everyday life. Many who call themselves Christians have abandoned this, especially in times of tragedy in our country. They'll call and have a joint worship service where all religions come together in the same place, and Christians pray with Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and any other flavor of whatever flavor you want to think of. But that's not what Christians do. Christians pray for, not with, false believers. We pray for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, not with them. You are to be different. This is why Jesus instructs the church, as He instructs His disciples, to teach them all things He has commanded, not just to teach the things you want to hear. We dare not hate unbelievers or people seemingly trapped by their sins. We are commanded to love them just as Jesus loves us. But we are to point them to the loving Savior Jesus Christ, as we go back again as beggars, showing someone else where to get fed. We dare not accept the false theologies taught by our culture. It will corrupt you completely to the core. You see, we have to confess the truth because theirs and our souls are worth more than any false temporary peace we might receive from it. We and they are worth the very life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. the only begotten Son of the Father, thus making us, thus the making of disciples occur as we baptize and teach everything Jesus has commanded in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which will even separate you from those who call themselves Christian. We dare not forget this because the one with all authority in heaven and earth is the one who tells us to do this. And with his promise, he is with you always. Always. Even when it, well, especially when it feels the darkest and the most alone. So hear Jesus as he says, go and do and I am with you. Here faith must trump our reason and hear the word of God. Listen to the one who has all authority in heaven and earth as he says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And yet in minutes you'll be coming forward, you'll get confirmed, and then when the rite happens, you'll receive the Lord's Supper and your reason is going to go, this is bread and wine, and boy does that taste weird. But your faith is going to be screaming, this is Jesus for me. For the forgiveness of my sins. The strengthening of my faith. And the assurance that I have life in it everlasting. That nothing ever can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So your faith must be fed. Listen to Jesus. Because all of this is done for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that he has commanded, and he is with you always. I know baptizing with water and bread and wine and teaching seem, well, boring. They seem powerless to our flesh. I know it doesn't scratch our itching ears, but for the Christian, these are the very means of grace, the vehicles that God has chosen to work through and to create and sustain faith throughout all generations. And this we celebrate today. When the church gathers for worship, she has one thing in common for us all who enter and sinners in need of a Savior. We are all dead in need of life. We are all orphaned in need of adoption. And if you ever feel you have matured past these very real needs, you're dead wrong. Think about what you confess today. You confess your sins. Not your neighbor's sins. Not the person in school that gets you in trouble's sins. Your own sins. You confessed that you are enemies of God, deserving only hell and eternal damnation. And I pray now we're seeing our genuine need is far greater than feelings and fun. Our genuine need is the forgiveness of sins, which is the cause of our problem. With stuffed feelings and personal relationships all along. You see, Jesus, the one with all authority in heaven and earth, has come and joined himself to our sin, every last one of them. And he died bearing them all, every nasty one. You see, either your sins are on the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world away, or they're on you. And if they're on you, you're still in your trespasses and sin, and death is, well, your only reward. It really is that simple. Either baptism washes your soul clean as the Spirit creates faith, or you are still dead in your trespasses and sin. Either Jesus' body and blood are offered to us today in with and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins and should be cherished and desired, or this whole event is a waste of time. Yet by faith, we fallen sinners now have hope not just for today, but you have hope for tomorrow and the tomorrows that follow that. Because you have life in it everlasting. You have eternity ahead of you. Jesus not only died bearing our sins, but he rose on the third day declaring to all sinners like us His victory. Your sins and my sins are forgiven, and heaven is our home. This is why St. Paul can write so wonderfully in 1 Corinthians, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God even chose you to confess His faith today. Today, God has chosen bread and wine and water combined with His all-powerful Word, and that Word is proclaimed to give and to restore life to us dead sinners. And these means of grace you cannot outgrow, and they will continue to point us to the crucified and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For eternal life is ours by grace through faith on account of Christ alone. And so our Palm Sunday message, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is ours. Lord, save us, and he has. You are his. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.